Praise the Lord, everybody. Nice to be in God's house. Amen. And wonderful presence of God here. He really is worthy of every hand clap, every hallelujah, every raised hand. He's worthy to be praised. And we don't have times, and we don't have worship service just to make the service last longer and make you feel like you've been in church. It's not the purpose of this. But God does inhabit praise. Amen. He feels comfortable where individuals are worshiping him. And I appreciate the presence of God that is here tonight. And it's good to be in a church that has Sunday night service. You know, even on Easter, you know. And 4th of July, they don't have Sunday, 4th of July, they don't have Sunday night service. Father's Day, they don't have Sunday night. Mother's Day, they don't have Sunday night. Boy, I think we ought to look for reasons to have church, not to have church, you know. But I appreciate that, and I appreciate my friendship with Brother and Sister Schumacher and Apostolic Faith Church. The church my father pastored in Pennsylvania was called Apostolic Faith Church, so. I was baptized in Apostolic Faith Church. So it's kind of like being home here tonight, you know? But all right. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Romans chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, Paul is writing, and he said, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So Paul said in verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, what? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We're going to speak about this gospel tonight. Let's pray one more time, shall we? Again, Jesus, thank you for your precious word. Thank you, God, for your spirit. Thank you for what you can do in people's hearts and lives. Help me to minister your word tonight. Help us to receive it, Jesus. For your glory and for your honor, in Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated this evening. The term gospel is not found in the Old Testament. It's not found in the Old Testament. But you read it more than 100 times in the New Testament. In the New Testament. In fact, it is the theme of the New Testament. John the Baptist comes preaching after 400 years with no preacher. And his first message is to repent and believe the gospel of the kingdom. Do you know how important the gospel is? Jesus said the end of the world would not come till the gospel was preached to all nations. Jesus instructed his disciples to preach the gospel to every creature, rich, poor, educated, uneducated, regardless of skin color, regardless of color, of culture, preach the gospel to every creature. Now, the word gospel means good news. We all like good news. We all like good news. And do you know what? The goodest news you'll ever hear is the gospel. The gospel. Every denomination in Racine uses the term gospel in some manner. And you can knock on 30 different church doors and say, "Tell me, what is the gospel?" And you'd get 30 different answers. But you will not be truly saved unless you know what the gospel is. You will not. And you can ask people what the gospel is. I've done this a few times, and they just say it's the good news. But what is the good news? What is the good news? In fact, the most useful theological professor in Racine, Wisconsin, are you folks that know what the gospel is. I mean, honestly, people go to college 4 years, theological cemeteries for 4 more years, and they still can't tell you what the gospel is. One man said, "What right does someone have to hear the gospel twice when so many have never heard the gospel once?" You are so blessed to be in Apostolic Faith Church, where we know and understand what the gospel is. Now, Jesus is the main character in the gospel story. If you do not comprehend and understand Jesus, you're not going to grasp what the gospel is. Let's turn to John chapter 5 and verse 39. John chapter 5 and verse 39. John chapter 5, verse 39. Jesus said, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they," what? "The scriptures are they which testify of me." Do you understand, folks? This whole Bible testifies about Jesus. He's the main character. Now, in Luke chapter 24, again in verse 44, Luke chapter 24, verse 44, Jesus said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." So you read about Jesus in the law of Moses. You read about Jesus in the prophets. You read about Jesus in the Psalms. Because this, all the scriptures are pointing to Jesus. When you read the book of Isaiah, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given," Jesus. "Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel," Jesus. When David said, he is fairer than 10,000 to my soul," that's Jesus. When Haggai said, "He's the desire of all nations," that is Jesus. And the Old Testament just kind of builds the platform and the stage. And then and here comes John the Baptist, this old preacher boy with camel hair, tailor-made suits, you know. Yeah. Eating locusts and honey in the other hand. Can you see this boy? How would you like to have him for your pastor, right? Yeah. And he said, "There's one coming after me that's greater than I am. I am not worthy to even stoop down and tie his shoes." He said, "I baptize you with water unto repentance. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." And then John the Baptist said, "I must decrease. Jesus must increase." And so John the Baptist walks off the stage, and here comes Jesus standing right in the center, folks, because all the scriptures testify of him. The gospel, the good news, the good story. It's such a simple story. The Holy Ghost overshadowed a virgin by the name of Mary. See, this is so deep now. See, deep. And this virgin brings forth a son. Angels sang, and the angels said, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." He was raised in Nazareth. He astonished the religious scholars in his day at the age of 12. Then we never read about him again until he was 30 years old. He only had ministry for just over 3 years. But the Bible says he went about doing good. Boy, he raised the dead, opened blinded eyes. Amen. Cleansed the leper, turned water into wine. Yeah. But he was hated by the religious leaders. hated. Hated so much that they had a mock trial. They had false witnesses. And in spite of all that, when they brought him before Pilate, Pilate said, I find no fault in him at all. And the second time, Pilate said, I find no fault in him at all. That's why it really gets me upset. When people just don't come to church anymore, they're not faithful anymore, they don't serve God anymore. And I ask them, why are you in church? Well, the pastor's son did this, the piano player did this, you know, the Sunday school superintendent did this. Listen, do you understand? You are not serving the pastor, you're not serving Brother Schumacher. We are serving Jesus Christ. And there's no fault in him at all. So don't withhold service to God because of some individual that has fallen short. So they let Barabbas go. And then Jesus said, then Pilate said, what shall I do then with Jesus, which was called the Christ? And in one voice they yelled out, crucify him. The most terrific death that they had in that day. So they come and they take Jesus, a band of soldiers, and I mean, folks, they beat him more than any man was ever beaten. I mean, hit him in the face, in the groin, in the chest, in the kidneys. Come on, he was beaten. And that precious blood that came from his eyes, from his ears, from his nose, from his mouth, they put stripes on his back, put a crown of thorns on his head, nails in his hands and his feet, and drove a spear into his side. Listen, that blood that came out of Jesus, just one drop of that was able to take away all the sin of the whole world. It just did not fall to the ground and get washed away in the storm, because the blood of bulls and goats has no power to take away sin. But what can take away my sin? Nothing but the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So they nailed Jesus to the cross. He hung there, he bled there, and he died there. But that's not the end of the story. That's not a good story. That's not good news. Now, some churches love to keep him on the cross. But he's not on the cross. Jesus died there. They took a corpse off the tree and they buried Jesus. Boy, that's not a good story either. You know, some people love to keep him in the tomb. But on that third day, the earth began to shake. The stone rolled back. Jesus comes forth out of the tomb, alive now and forevermore, with the keys of death and hell in his hand. Hallelujah! Joseph Smith died and he's still buried. The Buddha died and he's still buried. There's a lot of religious leaders that died and are still buried. But do you know what? Jesus died, but he is not buried. He's alive now and forevermore. That's what makes it such the good news. The good story. Let's turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 25. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. Heaven's going to pass away. Earth is going to pass away. Even tongues are going to cease. But the word of the Lord shall never pass away. So this word that endureth forever, it says, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You can walk into a bookstore, go to the religious section, books on Jesus, books on God, books on the Spirit, books on heaven, books, 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 books. And I don't care how famous the author is. I don't care what kind of TV ministry he has. I don't care how many books he has written. But if you want to find out really how to preach the gospel, it's not his book. This is the book that you got to read. Because the word of God, hallelujah, amen, this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. So if you want to find out what the gospel is, this is the book you must read. Yeah, but Reverend so-and-so says this. Yeah, but this evangelist says this. This faith healer says this. But God says this. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. So while Jesus is the main character in the gospel story, the three main chapters of the gospel story. Chapter number one is repentance, is death. Chapter number two is burial, baptism. Chapter number three is resurrection, the Holy Ghost. You don't have to go to a theological cemetery for 10 years. I'm telling you. Really. It's the death. It's the burial. It's the resurrection. Now let's turn to the book of Romans, chapter 5. Romans, chapter 5. Because, folks, the New Testament emphasizes again and again. The New Testament does not emphasize his birth. It does not emphasize his miracles. It emphasizes his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Just a few scriptures to show this. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Because that's an important chapter. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism. The burial, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now Romans chapter 14 and verse 9. Romans chapter 14, verse 9. It says, for to this end, Christ, the main character of the story, Christ both died and rose and revived that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Constantly we are reminded of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now let's look at the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1. Paul again is writing, and he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein ye stand, and the gospel which I preached unto you, by which also ye are saved. Listen, that's how vital the gospel is. People have gone to their churches for years and have never heard a gospel message. But the gospel which I preached unto you, this is what saved you. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. The death. All right. Verse 4, and that he was buried. Yes. And that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Boy, this is so deep and theological and original Greek and Hebrew. Oh, man, my mind's just getting weary here. I love the simplicity of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's the gospel. So here's a man who died and was buried and rose again over 2,000 years ago. What does that mean to you and me right now on April the 4th, 2021? We must identify with the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the Bible says Jesus Christ is the head and the church is the body. Aren't you glad you have a natural head? You wouldn't be worth much if you didn't have a head. I'm glad that Jesus is the head of this church. And I'm also glad that I'm part of the body of Jesus Christ. Do you know why? Because Jesus Christ died and I died. The Bible term for our death is repentance. God commands all men everywhere to repent. When you repent, that's not a good work. Folks, that is doing, that's obeying the gospel. Repentance. There's more to repentance than ashes on your forehead, everybody. And filling out a membership card. Repentance is saying, I do not want sin, I want God. They buried Jesus. We are buried with him by baptism. There's no sprinkling for water baptism in the Bible. The word baptize means to plunge, to immerse, to dip. It's needed for anyone in Racine to be sprinkled. When you got this big lake of water, that's the one of the biggest baptisms I've ever seen out here. Yeah. It's Lake Michigan, right? The Michigan Baptistry. Wow. On that third day when Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible says that the same Spirit dwell in you that raised Christ from the dead. It's going to also quicken your mortal bodies. That's why, folks, we're already quickened here on earth, folks, because we arise to walk in newness of life. Let's turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2 and verse 36. Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. This is what Jesus said needs to be preached to every creature. The gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection. Verse 36 of Acts chapter 2. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. They felt bad. They were convicted. You mean that we actually crucified the Lord? And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Boy, did we mess up. I mean, come on. What can we do? Verse 38, then Peter said unto them, fill out a membership card. Give us your name and address and your Visa card number. Do you want to go to heaven? Yes or no? Yeah, okay. I'm going to pray for these cards. People all over Racine will fill out a membership card. But that's not the gospel. What shall we do? Peter said, Lord, oh, this service has been so great. I mean, we have run out of cards. Wow. What a great response. Listen, anyone else that wants to be saved, go to heaven by the gospel, we have some counselors over here, Thomas and Bartholomew. You talk to the counselor, and that's it. That's the gospel. No. No one was ever instructed to talk to a counselor. Peter said, Lord, this is amazing tonight. The cards are gone, and the counseling room is jammed full. Listen, anyone else that wants to obey the gospel, why don't you step out of that pew, come up to this altar, raise your right hand and repeat after me, I accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. That is not the gospel. What shall we do? Oh, Lord, thank you for the response. But I still sense there's some shy, bashful, timid people out there. You don't want to talk to the counselor. You don't want to come up here in front of everybody. But we know I have a toll-free number, 1-800-987-3636. Folks, they did not even have telephones. But when they said, what shall we do? Peter gave them the gospel. Verse 30, then Peter said unto them, repent, which is identifying with the death, and be baptized, which is the burial. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the resurrection power of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Amen. You now have your theology degree right now. You got to tell somebody this, you know it? So back to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. So Paul said, I'm ready to preach the gospel, all right, in Rome also. Do you know why he felt that way? He said, because I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Because it is the power of God the power of God that brings you to salvation. Because when Paul wrote this, he looks back over the shoulder of his life, and boy, he was ashamed of many things. When they were stoning Stephen, his name was Saul then, he said, "Hey, you guys, it's hard to throw those rocks with those coats on. Just give me your coats and I'll watch your coats so you can throw that rock a little bit harder." He gave an okay to stoning Stephen. And he was happy that it was taking place. Then he bound every man and woman he found that believed this truth, brought them bound to Jerusalem. He raised havoc in the church. He did his best to stop the church of Jesus Christ. When he writes this, he said, "I'm so ashamed of my life before I knew Jesus. I'm ashamed of the problems that I caused the church." But then he said, "But I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation, because it changed me. I was baptized and filled with the Spirit of God." Yeah. Yeah. Folks, I can look back over my life and know what? I'm not proud of everything. I've not always been faithful. I've made mistakes. I haven't been as, I could have served God better in some areas than I have. I'm ashamed of some things. But do you know what? I can stand here and tell you I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of repentance. I'm not embarrassed to preach water baptism by immersion in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm not afraid to tell people speaking in tongues is the initial evidence of receiving the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Hey, if Peter preached it on the day of Pentecost and it's truth, it is still the truth on Easter Sunday 2021. And if Jesus tarries, it's still going to be the truth in 2022. And the reason I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation. Wow. We could have testimonies right now if we had time. Some of you could stand up and tell you how horrible the pit, how deep the miry clay. I don't know what kind of habits were in your life, what kind of sin. But one day you came to an altar and repented. And you were baptized in the name of Jesus. And you're filled with the Holy Ghost. And now there's power in your life over sin. Yeah. Boy, that one church I was at with, this man came to the altar smoking 5 packs of cigarettes a day. He said, "Brother Mackey, before I go to bed at night, I got to put a cigarette on the nightstand, my cigarette lighter, because I wake up every morning about 3 a.m. coughing, and I can't go back to sleep till I put that cigarette in my mouth and you know, smoke it a little while. Then I can go back to sleep." I smoke 5 packs of cigarettes a day. What can I do? Well, no, just fill out a membership card. No. There's something you can do. Come on to an altar and repent of sins. Come on and be baptized in the name of Jesus and receive the Holy Ghost. I speak so much about Terry, the boss that my younger brother used to have years ago. He just despised the church and mocked my brother. And you could smoke in the workplace, and Terry was always smoking cigars. And my brother would come in to work on Monday morning after church on Sunday. Terry would blow cigar smoke on his face. He said, "Hey, Mackie, did you speak in tongues yesterday? Come on, speak right now. Speak in tongues for me. Come on, right now, speak in tongues." He just mocked. He spent $10,000 on booze when he was in the Marines. He drank a quart and a third of bourbon every day. He put bourbon on his Cheerios for breakfast. But he came to one apostolic church service. Just one. But he comes to the altar. His head is bowed, there's tears, and his fists are clenched. That's not the time to have him raise his hands. There must be a work of repentance. He just, 10 minutes, 20, 30, 40, 50 minutes. And just through that, he was dying. He was turning himself. And even before he was baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, he went home and he poured all of his bourbon down the sink and threw all of his cigars in the garbage can. Hallelujah. Because the power of God is in repentance. It's in water baptism and it's in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So I don't care what the sin is. Don't look at people out here in Racine and say, "No, there's no hope for him." Yes, there is, because of the gospel. When's the last time you told somebody the gospel? When's the last time you taught a home Bible study about the gospel? When's the last time you invited someone to church to hear the gospel? To hear the gospel. Now let's turn to the book of Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, Paul writes to the church in Galatia, I marvel. He said, I'm surprised and astonished that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. You mean there's another gospel? That's why he said in verse 7, which is not another. There's not another gospel that will bring the power of God into your life. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert or distort the gospel of Christ. And this is happening all the time. Every now and again, I listen to a radio preacher. When I'm in a hotel, on Sunday morning, I turn on, see what some preachers are preaching. Just makes me want to get in the pulpit and preach, you know. Verse 8, but though we, Paul said, even if I or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, tell you any other story, give you any other news, all right, unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And the word accursed, folks, that is such a strong word. You are doomed to eternal punishment. All right. Verse 9, and as we said before, so I say now again. Because he's saying it a second time. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. I don't care how many TV programs he's on. I don't care how many books he has written. I don't care how many people have been healed. I don't care how big his church is. If any man, whoever it is, tells you, you don't have to be baptized in Jesus' name. Repentance is not important. Tongues has ceased with the apostles. Folks, no, do not listen to him. I mean, if you wake up some night in the middle of the night, because there's a bright light in your room, and there's an angel sitting on the foot of your bed. Wow, an angel. Now you wake up, and you look at the angel and said, are you a cherubim or a seraphim or what? I'm sorry, angel. You're here. You got to tell me something. What is it? I'm here to tell you, don't get so concerned about baptism in Jesus' name. Don't worry about speaking in tongues. Some do it, some don't. About that time, you do wake up. And you say, angel, you know what the Bible says? Even if an angel comes and tells you about some other gospel, which is not another. Angel, I don't know how you got in here, but there's the window. Fly away. That's how serious this is. That's why God helped apostolic preachers not to toy with this and play games with this. It's not just fun and games. You need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what saves us. Verse 11. Of Galatians 1. But I certify you, brethren. You know, did you get your taxes done by a certified public accountant? A CPA? I'm a certified preacher apostolic. Okay? Oh, I'm a CPA. All right, okay. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. It's not man's idea, man's concept. Verse 12, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation. Remember the main character? You need a revelation of Jesus Christ. Of Jesus Christ. When you understand that he died and that he was buried and that he rose again, you're going to have a grasp of what the gospel is. Verse 15, he said in the last phrase, and God has called me by his grace Why? Verse 16, to reveal his son in me that I might preach him, Jesus, among the heathen. Immediately, in other words, right after I got this revelation, I conferred not with flesh and blood. Literally, he said, I did not consult, I did not counsel with any human being. I just took what God gave me. That is why, and you know how many, I can't begin to tell you how many times as a pastor, as an assistant pastor, as an evangelist, I go back to people and I say, have you been baptized in Jesus' name? No, but before I do, I need to go talk to my pastor. Or I need to go talk to my grandparents. Or I need to go talk to my uncle. Folks, no, you don't consult with a human being. Folks that don't have a revelation of Jesus Christ, they're not going to tell you what to do. Because that's what makes tradition so strong. Now, my wife was raised in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And every time we went to church with my wife on Saturday, you know what I heard every Sabbath, every Saturday? Saturday is the Sabbath. Saturday is the Sabbath. And when you go to their revival meetings that they have, because they really are strong in prophecy, the reason they are so against the Catholic Church is because they said they are responsible for changing worship from Saturday to Sunday. In fact, they won't say it, but they can believe it. If you go to church on Sunday, you already have the mark of the beast. All right. So, my wife and I stayed in their home for 4 weeks. We had a 4-week revival, and we just stayed in their home, and the church gave them groceries. And so they were always talking about the Catholic Church. And so finally, I said, do you know it's the Catholic Church that changed the mode of baptism? For the first time, they said, really? For the first time, they listened as we went through the book of Acts. Aren't you glad that you know what the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is? Three. There's one name, not three names. One name. All right. And so for the first time, they listened. And Sister Mackey's mother says, now I see why you believe and know that. But she said, I'm going to, because they were having a revival too. The same time, the apostolic ad with my picture was right here, and the Seventh-day Adventist ad with their revival is right here in the same newspaper, right? So they said, well, listen, we're going to talk to our pastor and evangelist about this. And I said, well, it's right here in the Bible. So we didn't hear from them for 2 days. Now they come home from church on Saturday morning, like we do on Sunday morning. They eat and take a nap like you eat and take a nap. All right. But we are talking, and finally, Sister Mackey's mother said, well, we talked to the pastor and to the evangelist. And I said, yes. And they said, that's the one thing the Catholic Church did right, because Peter made a mistake. I've only seen one other Seventh-day Adventist get the Holy Ghost other than my wife. Only one. Because the death on tongues, talking to a Seventh-day Adventist, it's like talking to a Mormon, talking to a Jehovah's Witness. Folks, really, they are hard to reach. If you want to go to church on Tuesday, I don't care, but you must have the gospel in your life. And we couldn't reach him. It was just so discouraging. That's the one, because Peter made a mistake. If Peter made a mistake, then, I don't know, maybe Daniel made one, and maybe John made one, and what can we believe in this book? But there's no contradiction in the Word of God. The Word of God is forever settled in heaven. So that is why if there's anyone here tonight that's not baptized in Jesus' name, don't leave this house and go talk to a human. Come to this altar and talk to God. Now let's look at Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 40. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 40. So these people were, in verse 39, they reviled him, they were wagging their heads, and they said, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. In the entire ministry of Jesus, he wanted people to believe him. But every time he said something they didn't like, they picked up stones to stone him. They tried to push him off a cliff. You know, who can forgive sins but God? You know, are you greater than our father Abraham? He said, before Abraham was, I am. You know? I mean, they never believed him. But now they said, come on down from the cross and we'll believe. Jesus could have come down. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he did not come down. Do you know why? Because Jesus knew that just people believing will not save them. There must be repentance. There must be water baptism. There must be infilling of the Holy Ghost. Well, I believe I'm saved. I believe I'm saved. I can stand up here and say, I believe I'm a millionaire. Oh, yes. I believe I'm a millionaire. And my checkbook has $174.18. So, folks, just believing it doesn't make it. Hallelujah. For this apostolic church. When I was a father to my little girl and I still told her bedtime stories, once upon a time there was Goldilocks and the three bears. I got so sick of telling that story. Tell me Goldilocks, Dad. Tell me Goldilocks. You know. Listen, don't ever get tired of hearing, thinking, absorbing the gospel story. Hallelujah. Nobody loves you like Jesus. Let's stand and raise our hands and thank him. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm so glad he did not come down from that cross. I cannot come down. Blood has to be shed. There has to be a death. There has to be a burial. There has to be a resurrection before people can be saved. Hallelujah. Do you know how he loves you and me? Yes. Listen, we're going to sing this. Let's make our way to an altar as we sing it. Do you know how much he loves you? Hallelujah. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. Amen. He died for me. Will you die for him? He was buried for me. Would you be buried for him? Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Any guests or visitors here, I encourage you to come to an altar. Amen. And let this gospel truth be cemented into your soul and spirit and understanding. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.